That's page 966. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Vanessa. Please keep your Bibles open in front of you on page 966, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. It will be good to have it open as we continue thinking about that passage. Let's pray as we begin. Dear Lord, we pray that you will bring this passage alive to us this morning. We pray that you'll help us to reflect on what you want to say to us today. We pray that you would fill our hearts afresh with a desire to worship you. Amen. So Christmas is over. We've had our New Year celebrations. Lots of us have been away and travelled, seen friends and family. Many of us have had a good time. Some amongst us actually haven't. Many of us are now back to our usual life and work routines. However life is for us at the moment, time keeps passing. 2020 is already well underway. But there's a beautiful part of the story of Jesus' early years on the earth that it would be very easy for us to miss in the busyness of life: the story of the Magi visiting the Messiah. Tradition and legend has added enormously to the simple details which Matthew, the only gospel writer to mention them, tells us about the Magi in chapter 2. Over the years, these anonymous wise men have been upgraded to royal status. My favourite carol, "We Three Kings," is totally inaccurate. Added to this royal status, the wise men have been given names: Balthasar, King of Arabia; Melchior, King of Persia; Gaspar, King of India. We've tended to assume there are three of them because there are three gifts, but in fact no one knows how many wise men there were. And we've tended to imagine them trekking for miles, just three lonely men on camels going across the hilly sand dunes. A very simple but long journey, when in fact it's very unlikely it would have been like that also. So who were the wise men, the Magi? Why is it important to Matthew to mention them? And most importantly, what can we learn from them to help us to grow in our relationship with God? Well, let's start with who the wise men were. Magi first appeared in the Bible about 700 years before Jesus was born. They were written about in the book of Daniel. Indeed, Daniel was even appointed head over the Magi during the reign of King Darius. Originally from a Median tribe, their roots were as Persian priests. They were professors and philosophers of their day. They were brilliant and highly educated scholars who had knowledge of medicine, history, religion, and astronomy. They were highly influential in Persia and were advisors to the Persian king. They were also soothsayers and interpreters of dreams, and later their name came to be linked to being sorcerers or magicians. But at their best, the Magi were good and holy men who sought the truth. They had heard about the birth of Jesus and they travelled more than 1,000 miles, a journey which would have taken more than a year to complete and which in the days before modern transport would have been really treacherous to see Jesus for themselves. Why was it so important to Matthew to mention the wise men? Well, Matthew has already been establishing the credentials of Jesus in chapter 1. He began by giving Jesus' genealogy. Then he described his virgin birth. Writing of the Magi emphasises the dominant theme throughout Matthew's gospel, that Jesus is the King of all. They show right from the beginning that all are welcome to seek him and all who recognise who he is will be welcomed from him. The wise men bear witness from the start to Jesus' message at the end of Matthew's gospel. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So what can we learn from the wise men to help us grow in our relationship with God? The main thing we learn from the wise men is their recognition of who Jesus was and their desire to worship him. The wise men worshipped in the light of the star, in the light of the scripture, and in the presence of the Saviour. So firstly, they worshipped in the light of the star. Isn't it a wonderful thought that out of all the billions of stars he created, God chose one star and lit it up to gain the attention of the wise men? And then he used it to guide them to Jesus. For any of us who enter 2020 concerned about loved ones who don't yet know the Lord, it encourages us that God, in his wondrous creativity, can use absolutely anything to reach anyone. And so we can continue to keep hope. And it also reminds us of the fact that none of us are followers of Jesus by accident. For each of us, God has used some special way or some person to draw us to him. Often it's another Christian, someone who has got close to God themselves, and his light has shone through so brightly, like a star, that it's attracted us to Jesus. God has created travel guides for us all to find him, and we are also to be those stars, to be travel guides for others to find him also. The Magi saw the star and set off on the long journey to see the baby Jesus. And they showed up in Jerusalem, likely a huge entourage numbering thousands. They would have been escorted by soldiers and cooks, craftsmen, servants and slaves. They would have brought supplies and animals. They would have arrived with noise and pomp and circumstance, searching for the real King of the Jews. No wonder Herod was troubled when he heard all of this. No wonder it says in the Bible that all of Jerusalem was disturbed. It's even more understandable when we realise that Rome in the west and Persia in the east were the two monolithic powers in the world at this time, and they'd been at war with one another at several points in history over the years. After some dodgy directions from Herod, the wise men set off for Bethlehem, guided by the star that has already brought them so far on their journey. And in verse 10, it tells us that they were overjoyed when they saw this star. The worship of the wise men is full of joy. And they begin to rejoice when they know where Jesus is long before they even see him. The very idea of being in the presence of the king fills them with excitement and anticipation. Now I wonder whether we're filled with excitement and anticipation about coming before God in worship. I wonder whether we are overjoyed at the thought of encountering him in new ways in 2020. Or whether we find ourselves a bit lost and off track at this time. The wise men had to cross so many barriers to get to Jesus. There was a cultural barrier. There was a distance barrier. A language barrier, a racial barrier, a religious barrier, not to speak of hostile Herod and the indifferent religious leaders. It wasn't easy for the wise men to find Jesus, but they did. And the message for those of us who feel far from him at this time is that if the wise men found him, so can we. So the wise men are worshipped in the light of the star. They also worshipped in the light of Scripture. At the time of the birth of Jesus, there is a general expectation across the whole world that God would send a person into the world to deliver humankind from our bondage and limitations. This is found in the writings of both Middle Eastern and Roman scholars of the time. Everyone, it seems, was waiting for a dramatic intervention from the heavens. Our Old Testament scripture is full of prophecies about the coming Messiah. Just think how much the chief priests and teachers of the law would have known about Jesus. A few examples are as follows. It says in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, he will be born a baby. Isaiah chapter 7 14, he will be born of a virgin. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verses 11, 12 and 16, he will be a son of David. Jeremiah 23:5, he will be from the royal line of David. Micah 5:2, he will be born in Bethlehem. And Isaiah chapter 60, verse 6, wise men will visit him, bringing him gifts. It's extraordinary that the wise men, all the way from Persia, came to seek the Messiah, believing what they'd heard from another religion's scriptures. And yet, not one of the chief priests and teachers of the law, whose job it was to study scripture every day, bothered to go and find him. The wise men came more than 1,000 miles. The chief priests and the teachers of the law couldn't even make the journey that was a few miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. As it says in John chapter 1, verses 11 to 12, he came to that which was his own. But his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, I often reflect to myself and sometimes about myself as well, that it's amazing how much human insecurity gets in the way of our relationship with God and our relationships with others. Why didn't those teachers of the law who were a few miles away wake up and visit the Messiah? Well, it's probably because they'd got so hooked on their theories and their study that they'd lost their ability to relate to the Saviour personally. It had become so important to them to be intellectually clever and to be respected in the eyes of the world that they were able to answer Herod's questions about where the baby was as if it was a Bible trivia quiz. But to go and meet the baby, to acknowledge who he was, that wasn't their desire at all. It threatened their security, which was bound up in all that head knowledge and had very little to do with the heart. And then let's think for a moment about Herod. His reaction to Jesus being born was toxic, and his insecurity is obvious. Herod had been king of Jerusalem for about 70 years at this point. He was called Herod the Great, and in many ways he deserved this title. He was the only ruler in Palestine who had ever succeeded in keeping relative peace in the area for a sustained period. He was a great builder. It was under his reign that the temple in Jerusalem had been created. He could be generous. In times of difficulty, he had cancelled the taxes to make things easier for the people. And in the famine, 25 years before Christ, he's recorded as having melted down his own gold plate treasury to buy corn for starving people. So Herod wasn't entirely bad, but he did have a terrible character flaw, and that was he was insanely suspicious. He hated the thought of anything or anyone threatening his power. And eventually, in his old age, he came known as a murderous old man. He had murdered his own wife, his wife's mother, his eldest son, and two of his other sons. He felt deeply insecure about the birth of the baby Jesus because Jesus threatened his sovereignty. And so he ordered that Jesus too should be killed. Now, I wonder whether it's a good time for us to look at our own lives and check where our security is coming from. Now, we're probably not murderous kings, but we might enjoy powerful or important roles in society. We might enjoy relative wealth in comparison to the rest of the world. And we might enjoy using the minds that God has given us to help us to achieve in the world. Now, none of those things are wrong in themselves, but it's good to do a health check every now and again as to how important the things of the world are to us in comparison to our relationship with God. The reaction of the wise men to Jesus was completely different to everybody else in the story. They simply came to worship. The wise men worshipped in the light of the star. They worshipped in the light of Scripture, and they also worshipped when they reached Jesus in the presence of the Saviour. On arriving in verse 11 at the house where Jesus was, who was now probably around 18 months old, the wise men bowed down and worshipped him, presenting him with lavish gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold is the most expensive metal in the world, a gift fit for a king, recognising that Jesus is king. Frankincense was offered in the temples to God, a gift fit for God, recognising that Jesus is God. And myrrh was used for perfuming and embalming bodies in preparing them for burial, a gift fit for a man, recognising that Jesus came into the world as a man to live for men and women and in the end to die for them also. He came to offer both his life and his death for us. Through the gifts the Magi brought to Jesus, they preached the gospel again to the entire world. They showed that Jesus is the true king. Jesus is the Son of God and God himself. And Jesus is the Saviour of the world. The three reactions to Jesus in the passage, the indifference of the chief priests and teachers of the law, the hostility and the hatred of Herod, and the adoring worship of the wise men, are the three reactions which people have to Jesus in the world today as well. In the story in Matthew chapter 2, everybody involved had the same information. They were given the same opportunity from God. They all knew a baby had been born in Jerusalem, and they all knew who the baby was. Herod knew and tried to kill him. The teachers of the law knew and ignored him. The wise men knew. They bowed down and worshipped him and offered him their best gifts. And so should we. The tradition of giving gifts at Christmas time didn't begin with Father Christmas, it started with the wise men. It's great to give gifts to one another, it's even better to give gifts to Jesus. It's great to show our love to our family and friends and one another, it's even better to show our love to the one who loves us most of all. this year and every year, we're invited to return to Bethlehem. A child lies there who is king and God and sacrifice. And we, like the Magi, are called to worship him. In the light of the star, in the light of Scripture, and when in his presence. Amen.